Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You can hear us anywhere on the app. You can also hear us on your smart speakers if you have them. Say, play ESPN Radio anywhere on the app. Ah, got to work. Damn, I got to turn my boys off and go. Nah, man. Pop in however you pop, whatever you popping into your ears, pop them in. You got the app. We're right there. Mike Tannenbaum is with us for the next hour. Look
Mike
at this.
T.
Oh, an hour?
Yeah, he's got nothing better to do, apparently. He's slumming.
No, I know what happened.
What's that?
What happened?
Pay raise.
He got, oh, yeah, this is a promotion.
You got a bump?
Yeah,
you got
a bump.
Yeah.
It's a promotion, yeah.
Yeah, a little bump.
Can help. More playing time.
Hey, Key, I am still salary cap friendly. Let's make no mistake about it.
But for how long? So, Mike T said this, ESPN's NFL front office insider, said this to Max Kellerman. He's not much of a host, but ooh, is this guy good looking. On a tremendous show, this just in at 2 p.m. on ESPN. Listen to this from yesterday, guys.
I have two kids. I love them both. These are two guys. I would love both, but if you have to pick one, I am going with Justin Herbert because he's bigger, faster, stronger. They're both great players. But yesterday, Keenan Allen goes down. What does Justin Herbert do? He completes the ball to 9 different receivers on opening day. He doesn't need weeks to break in new receivers. 9 different receivers on opening day, loses Keenan Allen, doesn't get sacked, shows his athleticism. This guy is a combination of John Elway, Ben Roethlisberger. He's just bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody else. And that's why I'm taking him over Mahomes.
All right, let me clean something up. Mike Tannenbaum will be with us for 20 minutes. After I said the hour, he said, that's it. I'm taking the 40 minutes off. How dare you?
No, then he asked for the pay raise. He said, oh,
it's low.
Now I need the pay raise.
He's like,
now
I need the pay raise. All right, forget it. 20 minutes.
So it's a 20-minute, not an hour.
Yeah, 20
okay,
minutes.
I was wondering. I was like, that's a long time for free.
It's free. It's load management, guys.
Yeah, that's right. We got to load manage. So you're taking Justin Herbert, who, you know, I love Justin Herbert. I think he's going to win regular season MVP. But you're taking him over Patrick Mahomes?
First of all,
5 touchdowns.
I love them both. If I could have Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, I love them both. The question was asked, if I could only have one, the reason, and Key, you're giving me that look already, but the reason I'm taking Patrick Mahomes second, not instead of Justin Herbert, is Justin Herbert's a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, and a little bit stronger. I'd be happy with either one, but Thursday night we could live stream. I'm totally available.
Key, I just figured it out. Well, you're a GM, and you know Herbert's still on his rookie deal. That's influencing your thoughts.
Nope.
That's influencing your thoughts. It's like he's on his rookie deal.
Whether or not he's on his rookie deal or not, he's still going to have to pay him more than Patrick Mahomes on the real money.
Eventually.
On the real money. No, he's going to get more than Patrick Mahomes on the real money, not the total package, because the total package is...
Yeah, on the guarantee.
The real money. He's gonna get it. So, yeah.
You think Justin is better than Patrick Mahomes?
I don't disagree, but I disagree based on...
That's a new one.
Well, here's why. Let me get there, Maxie. If I'm putting them side by side, and I'm at the combine, and I'm looking at them, I'm probably going to fall in love with Justin Herbert, although... Yeah. If Patrick Mahomes wants to go out, we could talk. That's kind of – but I'm going to fall in love with Justin Herbert. 6'5", got the hair. He looks – he's tall, strong, big shoulders, the whole deal. He looks better. He just looks better.
What is it? Married, date, divorce? How do you play
that
one?
Called that, but it's called something else. But that's how general managers think.
When you get off the bus, I'm getting off a bus with a guy.
Who has more of that, like, je ne sais quoi, like that special something?
Well,
he's going to be texting the queen pretty soon, tweeting about the queen pretty soon. Je ne sais quoi. Here he comes.
I think Jay Will brings up a really interesting point. I think the reason Justin Herbert wasn't thought about as this transformational superstar, we, myself included, have a bias in the media of the SEC and East Coast. And Justin Herbert played at Oregon. He's from Eugene. And when you watched him in big games like Wisconsin and the
Arizona
Rose Bowl,
State.
He played great.
He's so good.
And that's
well, the Rose Bowl, he played great. I was at that game.
Yep.
Arizona State, not so good.
Yeah.
But my point, though, is if you put him in the SEC, people would have thought of him differently. And the other thing about Justin Herbert is he has leadership, but he's not – doesn't have an outgoing personality. And I'm telling you, Key, like, the scouting community would have thought about him differently if he played in the SEC instead of the Pac, whatever you guys are, 10, 12, 14 – you know, yeah, USC, USC playing Rutgers. I'm all
in the scouting community, and Mike knows this, Jay. They get it wrong all the time because they look for the wrong things.
What do they look for? What's the right things?
The right things is, can he play damn football? Not if he's a leader and all those sort of things. You know, okay, so if this guy's personality is not a leader, what type of coach do I have? What type of players do I have around him? Is there a Keyshawn Johnson, third person, on that team that can be that leader and bring that quarterback along? Plus, for me, in my eyes, watching him in college, whenever he went up against pro-style defensive-minded coaches, he struggled at times. Arizona State, I was at that game. Herm Edwards and Marvin Lewis and Antonio Pierce opened up a can on him. That was the first
time. That's a lot of NFL experience.
That was a lot of NFL experience. He looked like a deer in headlights, right? They didn't win big at Oregon. Like Mike was saying, if you slide him into the SEC, the SEC coaches are talking him up, you know, all the time. Pac-12 coaches are a little more reserved. They kind of just chill, lay back. Totally different situation.
Man, Herbert's so good. Hey, can you listen, Mike, to...
I'm still taking Mahomes.
Yeah, me too. I'm taking Mahomes, but like, it's... Herbert is going to be one of the best we've ever seen, I think, when all is said and done.
We can continue this conversation Thursday night. I'm available. I mean, I'm only working 20 minutes today, so I'll be fresh and ready Thursday night when the Chargers go into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs in that.
Real quick before we move on to another one. If he didn't have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and he just had the guys, whatever Baltimore has, does he look different?
Yeah, Key, that's a great point. I was at the Jet-Raven game, and I think Lamar Jackson, we talked about this yesterday, I think he's looking better than he ever has coming off of an MVP season 2 years ago. Justin Herbert completed the ball to 9 people on Sunday. I think that's really meaningful because Keenan Allen did get hurt. So they're both superstars, and that's what's going to be so much fun for years to come is these guys will be titans of our sport.
You have 7 or 8 guys, legit, you could say he's the best. No, he's the best. Like a bunch of guys. I take Mahomes. All right, you're the GM of the Jets. You used to be, Mike. And Robert Saleh said this yesterday. Do we have the sound? Let's play it for Mike Tannenbaum. Robert Saleh said this.
Every year, every game, when you lose in this league, it's the apocalypse. It's Armageddon, and people just want to jump off a bridge for some reason. We're in the instant coffee age, and it's deserved. That's part of the generation we've grown up in. That's part of what comes with the job, and especially in this market where there's 8 million people crammed in the one corner of the United States, it's going to get – people are angry. There's no space to breathe. But at the same time, you know, we do our best to ignore the noise and keep the main thing, which is finding ways to produce. And for all those people, just like I told our beat here about 15 minutes ago, for all those people who continue to talk and to continue to doubt, we're taking receipts. And I can't wait, and I'll speak for the entire organization, to shove it down everyone's throat when it comes around.
Wow. Well, for a guy that says to ignore the noise, he's listening to every bit of it. I would sit him down and say, don't read anything. Don't listen to anything. What you need to worry about, you know, Key, you and I know Coach Belichick really well. One of the signs in his room, he coaches DBs.
One of the greatest coaches of all time. One of them.
GTFB, get the F back. His DBs on Sunday didn't get the F back. The Baltimore Ravens came into that stadium without their left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, their best running back, J.K. Dobbins, without a really good corner, Marcus Peters. They made no excuses and won the game. And if Coach Parcells was coaching Robert Saleh right now, he would say one thing to him, no one cares, just go win football games. And you haven't done enough of it. And as a leader, that was not what he needed to do. He needed to take, when you're a leader, you take all the blame and you deflect the praise and put it on your shoulders and convince those men in the room when they come in on Wednesday morning that we have a real chance to win the next week.
What's the sign in the hallways, Mike? What was the sign?
Ignore the noise?
No, not ignore the noise. Don't explain.
No explanations, no excuses.
No, that was one, but it was I don't care, don't explain, just find solutions. Something along those lines was, I don't want to hear, just get it done and execute. One of the things that Mike brought up that I brought up earlier was the secondary. You're the defensive-minded guy who got the job because you're supposed to be the next Rex Ryan. Your defense is supposed to be great. They were running and looking at the back of the jerseys of the Ravens. That's not supposed to happen. And I'll say it again. This is a 53-man roster. One guy's gone that was supposed to be a key ingredient to this roster. It's Zach Wilson. So now you're down to 52. Get the other 52 to respond. That's what coaches do.
Jay, it is telling that Mike Tannenbaum sat here shaking his head like with a perplexed look on his face as coach was talking. That is informative.
I agree. I am open to learn more. I just, for me,
Jay was coached by Coach K. He has a lot of insight into great
coaches. I am open to learn a
lot
more.
But I also come from a place where, look, I know guys who are full of a lot of piss and vinegar, okay? Like, they carry a lot of this stuff on them. And they say a lot of things differently to the media than Robert Saleh, who was a little bit more upfront. Granted, Robert Saleh doesn't have the history, right, of winning as other coaches would have. But there's a part of me that likes that. Now, his team needs to reflect that. You can't say that in your team not reflect that type of energy.
Jay, well, you play for one of the best coaches of all time. You think Coach K would have cared what the Dorm Gazette said about
yes,
him?
Yes, I do. I do.
Publicly,
actually,
though.
Basketball, football, I think internally, yes, sports. I pay
publicly?
Attention to all that stuff.
Publicly?
Not publicly, but he will shoot you a little jab in a little slight way here or there later down
but
the line.
But I think what's being said is the packaging matters.
I understand.
Yeah,
I'm not sitting up here defending Robert Saleh. I'm just saying, like,
Because you'd be the only one.
But I'm not going to have for all the things
except
I'm more
for the Ravens.
Focused upon.
They defended him pretty well.
What he has to say, I'd rather talk about the fact that Joe Flacco threw the ball 59 times as a backup.
You think that's a bad idea at the age of 70?
It's a horrible idea.
But part of that is all about the coaching and the leadership, though. Jay, is what we're saying. Coach K, okay, Bill Parcells. Me and Mike worked for him, so I'm going
to
talk
us football
about
guys. We're trying to explain this to you.
Yes, us football guys.
Coach Parcells would remember what people said, but he's not going to step to the podium and let you know that he knows what you said.
Give you that satisfaction.
But you can skin a cat different ways than Bill Parcells.
I understand that, but in professional sports, Jay, it's okay to say that. A coach's responsibility is not to worry about what somebody is going to say, because what I'm going to do, I'm looking at that as sheer panic now. Now you're panicking because you're worried about other things.
I mean, Sean McDermott last year when they lost to Bill Belichick and the Pats, literally it was at the post presser talking about how that rubbed him the wrong way. Like, what, we don't want people to be honest now?
Well, it was
granted,
based on –
they're just winning, so it's different.
But it was based on a history of Bill Belichick and Coach Sean McDermott having issues with one another and how Bill said something about running the ball down his throat.
Yeah.
But that's the coaches.
Yeah, but I'm saying –
yeah, but he's talking about the media, Jay.
We're talking about
the
media.
The head coach is elevating – you know, it's like you don't punch down. The head coach is elevating members of the media who are critical by saying – by paying so much attention to him, he's admitting it's using it as motivation.
Or fans.
Was he wrong with what he said? Was he wrong?
I just think there's a time.
Yeah, I think
on the
facts.
Understood. Time and place may have been slightly, but was he wrong?
Yeah, I think he was.
How?
He doesn't have a track record of winning as a head coach.
What does that have to do with saying something that's right?
Well, what he's saying is
so
that
it's like,
we're going to turn this around, and eventually we're going to say, I told you so.
Here's
a perfect example that I would use and say, if Robert Saleh had done this, Coach Fossil said, all chips in the middle, and if you're not with us, fine. They went on and went to the Super Bowl. Had he done that based on in the past wins and going to playoffs and things, I ain't got no problem with it if he says that. But saying that I got receipts and I'm going to remember, so you got to win multiple games, go to the playoffs again before you can even cash those receipts in. You can't just win six games and go, Oh my God! Look, you were talking
we're
about
game under 500.
Yeah, we're game under 500.
So what you guys are saying is Robert Saleh is not the guy for the job.
Look, it's 18, 19 games.
I'm
in.
Asking, like, just Tannenbaum, be direct.
What would you say,
not
Mike?
The guy for the job.
Yeah, it's 18, 19 games in.
It's getting late early.
It's getting late.
He's won four games, and more important than what the four of us think is tomorrow morning in Florham Park, New Jersey, when he walks into that team meeting room.
Yes.
He has to convince those 53 men that he has the answers to the test to go out and win a football game. And they did not look good on Sunday. They did not look prepared. And they lost to a team that was missing a lot of really good players. And by the way, nobody is talking about this because of all the other injuries. The Baltimore Ravens were out there with their third string left tackle.
Yes.
Ronnie Stanley was out. Juwan James got hurt. They put in Patrick McCary and made no excuses. And I think for Robert Saleh, if I could tell him one thing – in this market especially, Just go win football games. No one else cares about anything else.
And what I always say, Max, no matter what type of coach you are, if you're a good coach, you do what Pete Carroll did last night. You win the damn game no matter what people think.
No excuses.
No excuses.
The other thing is, are you sure you want to pressure Lamar Jackson?
Somebody asked you, like, so you're not winning games. You lost your quarterback. You have injuries on your side, too. Like, so at the end of the day, are you supposed to be mute? But you don't say anything.
But why take on the media? Like, that seems
Mike,
like.
What do you say? What do you want your coach to say?
From the beginning.
Let's hear Mike Tannenbaum give us an example of what the coach is supposed to say.
I want a battlefield commander. It was on me. I didn't have LaMarcus Joyner in the right position. It's inexcusable to have the ball throw over his head. That is on me as a coach and our staff. We have to get better. And the product you're going to see next Sunday is a lot better. And all the criticism falls on my shoulders. And when these great men play well, it's because of their hard work. Any questions?
Clean.
Wow. You want to know what I would say? I'll tell you what I would say.
Here goes Coach Keyshawn. Very good.
It's my job to get these guys going and playing. And I'm going to do my damnedest to do it. And I promise you this. And if they don't do it, they're not going to be here. But I'm going to still be here.
How would that work out?
I'm gonna find somebody else to do it because clearly,
so
it's
Parcells.
Not getting through to them.
Wait,
well, Max, he doesn't have the resume. What is Key one?
No,
what does Coach Johnson want to say?
That's how you get the resume.
That's how you get the resume. That's how you get it. You tell them.
Pop your chest like that, though,
because it's true.
That's what Coach's supposed to do.
But look, I've been around enough of them, man.
Jay, think about what Key just said. He started by saying, it's on me. I got to have him in a better position. I'm going to do my best to do it next week. But I'll tell you this.
You didn't hear the whole interview? You don't think Robert Salas didn't say it's not on me?
But what he wouldn't say is, I'm keeping receipts. He's focused on the media, not his team.
He's keeping receipts. That's what everybody does.
Mike gave them positive reinforcement.
Would have hired me again based on what I just said.
Yeah.
Even if I got fired, he treated you. No, but that's
for
that,
two
we're not talking about Mike being traded. We're talking about me being a coach.
Hold on. Mike Tannenbaum, give you an example, Jay. He gave him positive reinforcement. Took all the blame and said, these guys, like, I need to do better by these guys. Key took the blame and then gave them the stick, not the carrot. Meaning, if you can't get any one of these guys who can't get the job done, I can find a replacement.
Max, I would be remiss if I didn't think during this whole interview with Michael Kay that Robert Saleh didn't take any accountability for what happened. We just played a clip. Yeah. You're reacting off a clip.
That's why you can't give him that clip. That's why you don't give him that clip. Because they're not going to pay attention to anything else.
Okay, well, I got a question. What does that accomplish if you're Robert Saleh? Like you feel better for 2 seconds and like you're being besieged and you're... It comes across,
I'm getting punched from left and right over. I don't think it accomplishes anything, but at the end of the day, sometimes, guys, you do want to fight back. Right. There is something inside you that wants to fight back. And not everybody's going to be Parcellian. Not everybody's going to be like Bill Belichick. But people are going to do it their way, and that's okay. I agree with you. You have to
win. Give me an example where that way works in the NFL.
If they start winning, people are going to see, I told you, that kind of Robert Saleh, that fight back, we liked it the whole time. I'm telling you, that would happen.
They ain't going to start winning.
That's I was just about to say, Jay, you're safe. I'm going to do is say he's been here for a year and a half, okay, or whatever, a year and a game or whatever you want to call it, 18, 19 games. I ain't seen no fight, dog. I ain't seen no fight. It doesn't take that long, as Mike would know, to see fight.
So why won't you say he's not the guy for the job? Because when I asked you, you said you don't know.
No, I didn't say I don't know. I said it's 18, 19 games. So, and what Mike said is it's getting late early.
No, I'm not asking Mike. I'm asking Keyshawn Johnson.
Why'd your voice go up like
because I'm getting passionate.
So many cats.
Directly, not to say late is early. You're saying you have not seen any fight in a year and a half.
None.
So you're saying he's not the guy for the job.
I don't know that he's not.
I will say this though. Wait, guys, if I can advance the story, if we're sitting here next week where I'm good for like 22 minutes,
yes.
If they lose to the Cleveland Browns this week, who are playing their backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, because as Key said earlier, they lost their best player. So if you want to give the Jets a benefit of the doubt, you can say that, hey, our future is about Zach Wilson. He's out. He's young. He's dynamic. If they lose to the Browns and they're going into Cleveland, now, all of a sudden, like, well, wait a second. You just lost to a team with a backup quarterback. Like, what's his interview?
They're a way better team than the Jets.
But
the Cleveland Browns are a way
better
team.
To be fair, Saleh is 4-14 in his first 18 games. And by Jets standards, you know, like a black coach, 1 year, it's dog years. It's really 7 years. A white coach can lose 7 games, and it's like a black coach losing a single game, right? The same thing with the Jets. 4-18 for the Jets. It's like a 500 record for a normal franchise. Like, you went to an AFC championship, guys, with the Jets. That's like you won 3 Super Bowls with a normal franchise.
And look,
it's
everybody,
hard to win
and
with the Jets.
And you're right, Jay. Everybody's not Belichick and Parcells and Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin and Tony Dungy and some of these other coaches. That's true. But coaches that can coach, players respond to, and they fight.
Actually, I think he makes a really interesting point. Tony Dungy, Hall of Fame coach, started off 0-5.
Yeah.
But everyone that was there had respect for him, knew he had the answers to tests, felt like they were getting better. And even though they were 0-5, they were doing this. I don't think you could point to anything that Robert Saleh's done to say, like, hey, things are going in the right direction, except if Zach Wilson – like, if the Jets won 4 games this year and Zach Wilson looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback, it's good. The fact that he's gotten hurt magnifies his record. And, again, like, why I think this week's important is – Jacoby Brissett is the backup quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. So it takes that excuse away. And when I watched that game on Sunday, the Ravens were missing a lot of good players, but they were by far the better football team.
John Harbaugh teams compete every week, every year, like Mike Tomlin teams. These are the great coaches.
You know,
I don't
good
hear
medic,
them talking about they're
Max,
taking receipts
you know good
on the
medic
media.
For me?
I feel like
I just got
you just
jumped
got
in the
jumped.
Corner. It's got jumped.
You can't defend
somebody that's not. I'm just telling you.
Jay comes out, but he's still got the cap, though. They jumped him for the Yankees cap, but he still comes out with the cap.
Still got it on.
Still holding the cap. How does Nathaniel Hackett take the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands? How does he do that in his return to Seattle?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Russell Wilson, the Broncos come in here and come up a point short.
Not a happier man right now in America than Pete Carroll.
Now what Russell had in mind and what Geno Smith, I'm sure, was dreaming about.
Geno sidesteps it. Geno keeps moving. Geno throws wide open. Dixon, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. You can carry us with you anywhere live on the ESPN app. Mike Salk, host of Brock and Salk on Sports 710 AM in Seattle, is with us now. Mike, before we get to anything, it's 4th and 5. The game is on the line. Coach takes the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands and kicks a 64-yard field goal. What were people thinking up there as they were watching this unfold?
I mean, I was laughing, I'll tell you that much. The idea that you would mortgage your future, give all those draft picks, players, money, et cetera, for Russell Wilson, and then take the ball out of his hands in the biggest moment of the game. There have been, what, 2 kicks in history of that length that have gone through the uprights? And how many, you know, franchise quarterbacks have converted 4th and 5 over the years? It's ridiculous. And I'll tell you, Max, it comes from ceding power to your players, right? We've heard that in Denver, Russ is in charge and Nathaniel Hackett reports to him, et cetera. And if you're going to give the power to your players and your kicker says, hey, I can kick a 64-yarder at the beginning of the game, and you listen to him and fail to use critical thought, I guess you get what's coming to you.
But, of course, Key, it's the kicker. You can't go against the kicker. Who cares about the quarterback? The kicker says he can make it.
Yeah, Mike, you know, looking at that game last night and kind of just watching the situation, I felt like Denver got away from their initial plan, which is play defense, run the football, and allow Russell Wilson to make a handful of throws here and there and get out with a W. Instead, it's almost like they got afraid in the moment of truth to let Russell Wilson be Russell at a critical time. Instead, they elected to kick a field goal, which I'm sure you guys were extremely ecstatic about it. To just begin
Is Russell still Russell? When you say let Russell Wilson be Russell Wilson, how many yards did he rush for last night? Two?
Oh, you bottled him
one
up.
Carry
yeah, they bottled him
for
up.
2 yards. That's it. But but hold on. Last year, Russ rushed for only 13 yards per game. Lowest of his career, even lower than the year where he hurt his leg and played through it. So are you sure that let Russ be Russ still involves Russ running all around and making people miss and running down the field? They paid a lot of money for a new franchise quarterback who has always been a good passer, a very good passer, but made elite because of his legs. Are you sure those legs are still there?
No, I'm not, now that you said it.
Damn.
I'm not sure.
Geno Smith's legs look pretty good.
Legs are still there. Is that a reason that Pete decided, and I tell us, and you too, Mike, you've been around here for a long time covering the Seattle Seahawks and up in the Pacific Northwest, that early Russell Wilson, early, when they were playing perennial playoffs, fighting for the Super Bowls, doing those sort of things, that it was about the defense, running the football, and Russ make a few plays here and there. Is that the reason that they looked at Geno Smith and said, you know what, we can get rid of Russell on top of everything else, and we can just go with a simple quarterback and do what we did in early Russell years?
Yeah, I think they're going to want to try. I don't know whether they have the Legion of Boom version 2 here just yet. I mean, they've got some nice players on defense, but it's nothing like the group of legends and Hall of Famers that they acquired and during that time. So, you know, I don't know whether that strategy is going to take them to a Super Bowl with Geno Smith, but I think you're right on in terms of what their philosophy is on winning. And I know Pete Carroll gets a lot of grief for it nationally, and a lot of really smart people say that he's outdated. But Pete doesn't really care. He says that this has been a formula that's worked for me forever. If we can run the ball, play defense, and not force my quarterback to do too much, he believes, and look, I know you know Pete pretty well, right? When Russ started cooking a couple of years ago and they were throwing the ball all over the yard, I don't think it was an accident or a coincidence that the defense all of a sudden started giving up a historic number of yards themselves. Pete ended up pulling back on the reins after Russell had a couple of bad games and threw some picks. And guess what? The defense magically improved at the same time. Pete sees the whole game, not just what the offense is doing.
He didn't say, hey, I'm keeping receipts on the media. And sorry, that's something Salk. Go ahead, Jay.
Mike Salk, host of Brock and Salk on Sports 710 AM in Seattle, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike, leading up to the game, how would you describe just Seattle's overall feelings towards Russ?
Well, hopefully you could hear the boos on TV. I mean, I was in the building last night. That's as loud as it's been here in a long time. And look, Seattle is not New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit. This is not a city that is known for booing. This is more of a PG-13 city, not a rated R city. And when I heard the fans last night, they were not PG. And I thought the Seahawks organization played into it. Look, they had Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch and KJ Wright and Cliff Avril all on the field before the game, and they showed them, and the fans cheered, et cetera. Wow. And then they showed video of Russ running around, and they showed people with their Boo Russ signs, and they showed people booing. And I don't think that was an accident. They were trying to send a very clear message. On one hand, these are legends that you love, and on the other hand, here's a guy that you used to love that is now wearing blue and orange.
But, Mike, I guess for a guy that took them to the Super Bowl twice, they won one. He's a Super Bowl champion, everything he's done in the community. Why not at least praise him at first and then boo him when the game starts? But you've seen organizations.
I think it's the other way around. I think you boo him now, and when he comes back to be inducted into their Ring of Honor, Russ will be cheered and all of those accomplishments will be acknowledged. And by the way, they were at the end of last year as well. I mean, this was not an impossible situation, right? This was not unforeseen. Russ had his victory lap. He went around the field for a last time. He received cheers. Smart fans knew what was going on and that this was a possibility. You know, I think the way that things went down necessitated this reaction. The fact that he wanted out, the fact that he wanted control, that the Seahawks were unwilling to give him, the fact that he seemed to suggest that Pete Carroll and John Schneider were not doing their jobs as well as he expected them to. You know, Russ essentially said, I want out of here. And I think the fans have every right to react to that.
Wow. It's fascinating to me, Mike, that I didn't even notice that they had, I knew Richard was there, but I didn't realize KJ and the rest of the crew and Lynch and those dudes were there.
Mm. Wow. So they were all there on the field and they were showing all of them. KJ ended up, first of all, KJ is the best. And he ended up raising the 12th man flag at the beginning and getting everybody psyched up in his first game since retiring. Yeah, no, they made it very clear who the legends were and who the fans were supposed to love and who the fans were not.
Well, I don't think Her Majesty the Queen would have approved of booing Russell Wilson. And I'm sure of you. It. Thank you very much, Mike Salk, host of Brock and Salk on Sports 710 AM. What? I'm just saying.
He likes
in
the
Seattle.
Royal
Thanks,
family.
Mike.
The Monarch.
See you guys.
All right, Mike.
Yeah. No, I don't think she would have approved. See, that's why
he likes the royal family.
Why don't people take their cues from Her Majesty, the late Majesty the Queen, who never would have booed Russell Wilson.
Russ is never coming on our show.
Cowboys Vice President Stephen Jones said the Cowboys are, quote, evaluating all options. Do those options include Colin Kaepernick, I would like to ask Jerry Jones. That's following Dak Prescott's injury. Are the Cowboys already done after one game of the season? That's not like them. Usually they get your hopes up, and then they disappoint later in the season.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
So Russ got booed last night in his game back to Seattle as a Denver Bronco. And Keith, I look at it like this. So it's like a breakup. You ever break up with an ex back in the day? The way you break up matters. If you break up on amicable terms, you're cool when you see each other. You break up on bad terms, you got nothing good to say. You don't want to really talk about them. It's going to be met with some kind of animosity. And I felt like that last night, even though Russ won a Super Bowl, he was met with some animosity with the way things went down.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
They're supposed to boo him, though. They're supposed to boo him and keep booing him and boo him till they can't boo him anymore. When he finally gets his ring of honor in 30 years there after his retirement, then you could cheer him 30 years from now. 30, because it's going to be 30.
Are you okay with that, Max? Like, do you think he should have been booed or applauded maybe at the beginning and then booed?
As you know, Jay, I look for guidance in these situations, social cues from the Royals. And I don't think the Queen would have approved. I've said this before. And I think that some people would rather prefer the company of the Royals and these kinds of people to the common fan, Jay, who would be so coarse as to boo.
Will you stop, though, man? Russell Wilson has an affection for the royal family and the queen. That's why he tweeted his sadness of her passing. Leave that dude alone.
Yes, that's right. Jay just showed. So, like, he'd throw a touchdown and they go.
The baby clap.
But I think, though, man, booing is all part of it.
Parade.
You're supposed to boo it. Like Mike was talking about, that was on with us a minute ago, it was set up for the Seahawks. Remember, I told you yesterday at the end of the show that Pete Carroll had told the fan base, let's go. Let's boo him from beginning to end.
And when Mike saw him, I didn't know that Richard Sherman, all those guys were down on the field.
I knew Richard Sherman was there, but I didn't know that everybody else, KJ Wright and those guys were all there. I had no idea.
Wasn't that really a message saying the fans see what was going on? That the heart and soul of the team was the defense.
But also,
that's what won. That's who they loved. That's who they moved on from.
I was about to say, in all honesty, though, Max, that says more about the way that they felt about all Marshawn Lynch and everybody, and not as much as they felt about Russ. That team won those Super Bowls, went to those Super Bowls because of the defense and the running
game. But I gotta
say, let's be honest.
But I do think that Russell Wilson played an extremely high level as his career went on. I think he's become a touch underrated by hardcore football people. He has a great deep ball. He extends plays.
There's a lot of people that got great deep balls.
Do you guys think the Seahawks fans will boo Bobby Wagner when he comes back?
No, they'll cheer Bobby Wagner. Yeah.
Easy to love the tough defensive
guy. Yeah, it's a different –
the defense.
But they also won with those guys.
I understand.
They don't respect Russell Wilson's winning.
Here's a rhetorical.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Dak Prescott, this is one of the best players in the league.
Got hit into the helmet or the hand of Shaq Barrett. He's out of the game.
And all of a sudden, now you're going to take him away?
Yes, he has an injury above his joint and his thumb up here.
And I wouldn't give up a second or a third round pick for someone like Jimmy G or Tyler Huntley, because I think right now it's really hard for them to control the line of scrimmage.
Or, on the other hand...
You don't forget.
No. Yelling and the screaming, it's a tad bit late.
Oh, yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Guys, Cowboys Vice President Stephen Jones. How do you get a job like that to be Cowboys Vice President? Boy, he must have beat out a ton of competition. To get that job, Key, Stephen Jones.
Max is all one today, Key.
Stephen Jones, listen, a lot of people would love to be the Cowboys vice president. Stephen Jones is the guy who got the job. I could just imagine the long road it was in his life from humble beginnings to Cowboys vice president for Stephen Jones.
See, I don't have a problem with that, though.
I don't have nothing of a problem with it. Beat out a lot of competition.
The reason I'm okay with the Jones family structure.
Because they're pretty good.
Because they all played football. They all play football, and they all came up through the scraps and the hard work of their dad. I'm okay with that.
Right.
See, I know a little more, intimate details.
Yeah, you played there.
They paid dues. Well, and by the way, it shows up. They're solid general managers. They're not the best general manager, but they're solid.
They wasn't in the front office many, many years ago when they first took over. They were playing ball and scrapping, and then eventually when it didn't work out, in football, they eased their way in and did some. So I'm okay with that. They learned the scouting roles. They actually did grow up in football. Mm. Where some of these owners, they, you know, yeah, my granddad to my dad, then my dad to me.
But at least those other owners are hiring a lot of black coaches, so it evens out. Oh, they're not? Oh, sorry. I thought
minorities.
Minorities.
Minority coaches.
Minority coaches,
yeah. Continue to say black.
Well, except that if 75% of the league is African American, we're not just talking about quote unquote minorities, we're talking about African American.
Well, when you say hiring practicing though, you want to say minorities, Max, because Robert Saleh is not African American and neither is
Listen, that
Robert
is true.
Hare. I just want to get technical.
Yes,
that's all.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
That is true.
Glad you guys worked that out.
Yeah, I just wanted to work it out before he makes another mention of the Queen.
It's Max.
Stephen Jones, Cowboys Executive Vice President.
EVP.
On 105.3 The Fan, KNC Masterpiece. Ready? What's the plan at quarterback going forward?
I mean, obviously it's early on a Monday, and certainly we'll be evaluating all options. And certainly Cooper stepped in and did a great job for us last year when Dak was had to sit out a game. And, you know, he knows the system. Will Greer knows the system. And we've just got to go out and execute and play well. And certainly we didn't do it to a standard that we need to do it to.
So he says nothing pretty much.
Well, except that, you know what, in light of what Seattle just did and what he predicted they would do, he predicted it'd be a 10-win team, that Geno Smith was good. Don't forget.
They already won one game.
They wanted Drew Lock in that trade, and Geno Smith beat him out, right?
Well, they wanted Drew Lock. They need a big – you have to have a backup. Mm-hmm.
Right, but okay, that's what I mean. Yeah. Let's talk about backup.
He was never, in all honesty, he was never going to beat out Geno Smith.
Why isn't Geno Smith the backup? Like, you know,
because
why
he never was going to beat him out.
No, in Dallas. Oh, Dallas doesn't have a real backup that can hold it down.
Because they misjudge – as Jay said yesterday, negligence on the quarterback position. I wouldn't say the entire roster. I would say the quarterback position.
Second most important job in the building, right, behind the quarterback.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback.
You could say that and get away with that for sure. I would say, though, that part they dropped the ball on, because you have to, at a premium, find a backup quarterback, because very few quarterbacks in the National Football League go from beginning to end, from week 1 to week 18. Very few, right? Kyler Murray's going to get hurt. It's just Matthew
Inevitable.
Stafford's going to get a shoulder.
Inevitable.
Now you got 17 games. If the quarterback is your 15, that's basically a full season.
It just becomes a bad look when you see the other backup quarterbacks in the division that are pretty strong in case one of those primary options go down. And the key thing is, like,
in the division.
It feels like they're trapped. It feels like what moves realistically can they make?
Even to the point where terrific Tom Brady was vacationing earlier in the spring, retirement, the whole deal, and they felt good saying that the guy that they had, we can go forward with him as a starter. He now becomes Tom Brady's backup. And I think it's Mike Glennon or whoever. I don't know exactly.
Is Glennon in Tampa right
Somebody,
now?
One of them dudes, one of them tall, long
No one knows
guys.
The backup until the
starter
goes
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
An experienced guy who has started NFL games.
If the Cowboys had Blaine Gabbert, I'd be like, oh, okay, he can hold it together.
For half a dozen games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, Jay, I think it's such a great point that you make about the division. Look at the other backups. Forget about around the NFL.
Minshew in Philly.
Minshew is a decent starter. He's the
playoff
backup.
Win in his
Heineke
career.
Is a decent starter.
Playoff
He's
win.
He's the back. They got to play on the resume. And Tyrod Taylor in a parallel universe is someone's franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and could wind up starting for the Giants at some point this year.
Right. Good chance he will.
That's the problem with Dallas. So what do you
I don't know what they
You're stuck with Cooper Rush. That's what you do.
I don't know why they went that route. Who knows? I don't.
Maybe they really like Cooper Rush.
Will Greer. You see, look, when we say Geno Smith, he's like, I'm telling you, when we say Cooper Rush, he goes, ah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but Cooper Rush, just the name, doesn't work for me.
The name alone.
Cooper Rush.
Listen, Jay, when I shot the free throw before it, and I'm wearing the jeans, and you see someone had video, and Key says to you off on the side, he goes, the jeans alone, Jay. The
don't
jeans
look
alone.
Right. Don't look right.
Just don't look right. Right?
Yeah. Name alone.
When you are Stephen Jones in the company of the front office trying to find a quarterback, there aren't very many guys. There's nobody out there. Like you said, well, they can just go take trade for a quarterback.
Let's get past the name for a second, because my father used to do this to me, Jay. I'd be like, I like some player coming up at the Yankee system, and he'd hear the name, he goes, doesn't sound like a ball player. I'd be like, yeah, but Dad, you got to watch him. But evaluate Cooper Rush. Let's put the name aside for a second.
Not very good.
Okay.
Did you watch him the other night? Now, look, he came in under duress. It was a whole deal. Blah, blah, blah. They all knew he was going to be throwing. I don't think that if he can get them to 500. Getting them to 500 is what I need my backup to do. If he's gone 6 to 8 weeks, I need you to be 3-3 or 3-4 or somewhere where we're not out of it. I don't need to lose 7 games before we get a win.
By the way, I mean, your schedule is, I mean, it's not.
No, it's not Murderer's Row at all.
It's not that crazy.
No, it's not Murderer's Row at all.
It seems like manageable, like Commanders division, divisional game, Giants, I mean, Lions, Bears. They got winnable games in there
now.
But
see, I agree. If you have 3 divisional games, you should win one just because it's a divisional game. You should, Lions, Bears, you need to win one. That's 2 wins right there.
The problem, though, is they have the worst quarterback in the division. And when you have the worst quarterback in the division, you're probably not going to win the division.
Actually,
games.
They have. When you say the worst quarterback in the division, you mean including the backups. Everyone else's backup is better than your starter.
Yeah.
Let alone the starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. If you got 7 quarterbacks in a division and you got number 7, that's not good.
He said it's not good with a smile on your face as a resident Giant fan. I like it.
Damn right, Jay. Was Robert Saleh out of bounds?
Come on. From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.